Hello, everyone. I'm Jerry Forsyth. I'm, of course, with Mike Howerton. And this week on Run Out Radio, we've got a great guest for you, Rodney the Rocket Morris. And he'll be along in just a moment to talk to us about all the things going on in his life. Right now, Mike's got the news of the week. Mike, what you got?
Well, Jerry, the biggest story this week has got to be Turning Stone Classic, Turning Stone Casino, Verona, New York. It's a Joss tour stop. Mike Zuglin has been running these events two times a year for quite a while now. 25,000 in added money at each one. They're really great tournaments. I visited one a little over a year ago. This year, another amazing field, Johnny, Mika, Ralph, Torsten, a bunch of the Filipino players, Karen Kaur, Julie Kelly, Jasmine Ushan. Another Filipino player won it, Lee Van Corteza. This would be the same gentleman that lost the one-game sudden-death race against Nils a week ago at the Challenge of Champions and ended up walking away with nothing. He didn't walk away with $50,000 for this one, but he did get $8,000. My understanding is he just played some amazing pool. The story I heard was he lost to Dennis Orcolo on the winner's side, came back on the one loss side, and beat Dennis 11 games. He beat him 9-2, and it took 22 minutes.
Wow.
All on the AccuStats cameras. I'm sure Pat was real pleased about that.
What's he going to call that, a short?
Yeah, he's going to have to find some other short match to put that one with. As if that wasn't enough, Corteza comes into the finals. He's playing Louis Ulrich, who...
Right.
I mean, Louis is another one of those players that he doesn't get out to very many of the major events, and he had an amazing tournament, but Corteza is ahead of Ulrich 12-2 in a race to 13 before he finally scratches on the break, and Ulrich runs five racks to at least turn in a respectable finish. I mean, Ulrich has to be a big story at this event. He gets through Ushan, Hopkins, Van Boning, Stevie Moore, and Karen Kaur, and Orcolo to take the hot seat. That's a pretty good run through the winner's side.
That's a great run through the winner's side, but not totally unexpected. I mean, Louis is a very well-respected player.
Yeah, I spoke to him after the tournament, and he said this was like the third big event he had played this year, and he's definitely going to be playing more. Of course, if you can run through a field like that, you should be out there playing in more.
Do you know what it was a race to on the winner's side?
It was 9, all except for the finals, and it was 13 in the finals.
Okay. Yeah, good long races. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, Monica Webb won another big event, Ladies Spirit Tour. Monica was there, Helena was there, and Tiffany Nelson joined them this time. What's happening there is the Ladies Spirit Tour holds their season finale in December, and if you've played in a certain number of regular season events, then you're eligible to play in the season finale. So besides the fact that there's prize money to be won, these top players are playing to make sure that they qualify for that end of season finale, because there's always a pretty decent amount of added money. I think they had $7,500 added at their one last year.
Right.
Monica won again, and Monica was supposed to win again, but what I found interesting at this tournament was Tiffany Nelson. She took second place. She beat Helena Tornfeld on the one loss side. This was a real good tournament for Tiffany, and she's been struggling a little bit on the WPBA. About a year ago, she was riding high. She had a couple real good finishes, and then her performance, her finishes kind of tapered off, but it's good to see her turn in another good tournament.
She, to me, is the biggest surprise on the WPBA, and it's not a good surprise. When I first saw her play as a teenager, I thought she was going to take the pool world by storm, and frankly, I expected her to be winning WPBA events pretty regularly by now.
I don't know what it is that holds her back. She's got one of the biggest breaks on tour, and she plays great. She just kind of, she's ups and downs.
I'd love to look at her total record and see if it's the fact that there are certain players that she doesn't let herself get past.
That could very well be.
I know I've seen a lot of guys out there who look like world beaters, and they get up against Johnny or Earl, and they just fold up like a house of cards. And if they forget who was on the other side of the table, they could win the matches.
That's interesting. I've always wondered what it would be like to play a completely blind pool tournament where you had no idea who you were playing.
Yeah, have everybody wear hoods.
Well, I was thinking you could have someone shoot and then they'd have to leave the room. I mean, the logistics would be a nightmare, but it would be interesting to see who won that tournament.
It would make a big difference. You know, everybody says you don't play your opponent, you play the table. And that's the biggest line of bull in pool today. Everybody plays the other guy. It determines whether or not you take that risky shot or play a safety, because when you're playing up against Johnny, you know if you miss, you might sit down for the next 10 racks.
Right.
But if you're playing somebody else, you can take that chance and know that they might run one or two racks on you, but you're not going to sit down for the rest of the set.
Let's see. Shannon Dalton won his Great Southern Billiard Tour stop in Macon, Georgia, at The Whole Thang. That's the name of the room.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Somewhere in Macon, you got me. I've never been there. It must be behind the Big Chicken.
The whole thing.
That's it.
Now, the Big Chicken is in Marietta. You've got to get your Georgia landmark straight, son.
I couldn't get over that when we had Johnny on. They had Larry Neville, Cliff Joyner, Scotty Townsend. Good field for that. And also, Tommy Kennedy won his event, Southeast Open 9-Ball Tour, at Skeeter's Billiards in Gulfport, Mississippi. It's a shame to see these champions. I mean, these guys are great players. There's no doubt about it. Tommy Kennedy,
Yep.
U.S. Open champion. Shannon Dalton is probably one of the best bank pool shooters in the country. And they're forced to start tours so that they have a way to make ends meet in between big events. But, you know, we talk on and on this show about the negative things that go on in the game of pool, so we really don't need to keep going after that.
No, and there are some awfully good things happening now as well. There are larger events coming along, paying a lot more money. If the ball keeps rolling this way, we should be in good shape in 4 or 5 years.
Yep. In Arizona, the Arizona Women's Billiard Tour, they had their August stop, and Holly Scholes won. That's a name that should be familiar to a lot of fans who've been following the game for an extended period of time. Holly used to tear up the scene when she was kind of a tournament player. She was kind of a road player. She did a little of both back in the late 90s. This is the third
Right.
qualifier she's won for the WPBA, and she hasn't really made any noise on tour yet, but she's had some really, really brutal draws. I spoke to her for a couple of minutes after this last win, and it sounds like it's really got her competitive juices flowing, and she wants to get out there and show the WPBA that she still knows how to play the game.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw her play would have been at the Allen Hopkins Expo, probably 5 or 6 years ago.
She took a little break from pool. She said she just wanted to experience life from some angle other than over a cue ball. And now that she's had a chance to experience that life, maybe she's figured out that it's not any more fun than playing pool.
So true.
Let's see, what else happened out there? Mike Davis won the Blaze 9-Ball Tour stop. The Blaze Tour, on the East Coast, they have the opportunity to draw some of these great fields, but they always have just a real strong field of competitors. They had Ronnie Alcano, Sean Wilkie, Matt Krah, and Liz Ford played again. Liz is a WPBA player, and she's not one of those upper echelon WPBA players, but you got to respect the fact that she gets out there and plays on this Blaze 9-Ball Tour every weekend, as long as she's not at a different event.
Right.
She's cashed in a number of their events. Again, it's good to see a female player get out there and show that she's not afraid to mix it up with the guys.
Good for her. I'd love to see women in every event. I'm one of those who believes that given enough exposure that the women can take down these events. Karen Corr already has.
Right.
So I'd love to see a mixed field, you know, a great deal more women.
Like Monica said last week, the more the women get out there and play, the better they're going to play, even in their own events. So I'd like to talk to Liz and see if she feels that she's playing stronger on the WPBA now that she's been getting out there and experiencing these type of events.
Good question.
Another event, it didn't get as much publicity. Danny Kaye's is The Room in Orange, California. Roger Tafoya is a promoter, and he wanted to promote a straight pool event. So he got the owners of Danny Kaye's to agree to put it together. They drew a field of 50 players, and the finals came down to Oscar Dominguez and Ernesto Dominguez. Oscar is Ernesto's son.
Yes.
And they split first place. Ordinarily, I am adamantly opposed to splitting in a tournament, but if I were to ever get into the finals of a tournament with my son, I would gladly split.
Especially if he won.
Yeah. Oscar's been playing better and better the last two or three years over here on the West Coast, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I mean, he's definitely got an amazing teacher.
Oh, he certainly does. No doubt about it. And a fella who can teach him all the correct ethics of the game. Dominguez has long been respected as just one of the most four-square guys out there.
He's also one of the top, pretty much understood on the West Coast as the top table mechanic. I've got friends here in Arizona who have bought tables and they've wanted to have them double shimmed or triple shimmed, and they really wanted that table to play well. And they knew if that's what they wanted, they had to call Ernesto. You know, anywhere on the West Coast, he's the man to talk to about that sort of thing.
He certainly is. In fact, I talked to a room owner who had a table in California where the slate had warped, and Dominguez was able to go in there and loosen all the bolts around the table and put in some shims and then tighten the bolts down one at a time as he measured the table. And he was able to take that warp out of the slate.
Wow.
Yeah.
In other straight pool news, not necessarily a tournament per se, but George Torres over at ProPoolVideo.com has posted his first video from the recently conducted World 14-1 Championship. The video that he posted is Torsten Holman versus Alan Hopkins. Great match. I haven't watched it all the way through, but what I did see was very good, and there's certainly a lot to be learned watching two players of that caliber play the game.
I watched that video and enjoyed it, and I was amazed that someone came on the AZ Billiards forums who had seen that video and wanted to talk about what a bad stroke Alan Hopkins has. And I just wonder if they would like to match up against Alan. Because I'll be happy to back Alan and his bad stroke against most of the people in the world. That Alan knows he hasn't got the most fluid, beautiful stroke in the world, but it's worked for him for a number of years.
Well, it's no different than Mike Davis. I mean, if you watch Mike Davis shoot, you just wonder how he can make a ball, but he almost never misses.
Yeah, Mike Davis uses his entire arm and half of his upper body to stroke a ball. That's another one that it does amaze me that he plays so beautifully, and he does. I mean, he's just a great player. The balls go in, and he controls Whitey, so what else can you ask for?
Yep, that's the important thing, and you got to go with what you learned. And if you maybe didn't learn all the proper stroke mechanics, you can either completely unlearn those bad habits, which a lot of people, that's just asking too much if you go so far along in the learning process.
Well, have you heard the story about how Mike Davis took up pool?
No.
He was looking for a job. And the job he found was as a cook in a pool room. And part of the benefits of having the job was he could play free pool when he wasn't cooking. So he'd go out and just knock balls around. Well, nobody taught him how to play. So he didn't ever learn how to properly stroke the ball. Well, I'm not going to say properly, how to stroke the ball the way most people do. He just pushed the cue stick into the cue ball, and pretty soon he figured out he could make those balls go in better than other people could. And he started practicing the game and picking it up, started beating all the locals, started playing in tournaments, started winning the tournaments. So he went from a cook in the pool room to a top pro.
Well, at least he's got something to fall back on in case this pool thing doesn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go back to flipping burgers.
Yeah.
So that's the news that's going on, everything in the billiard world. Right now, we've got Rocket Rodney Morris on the line. Hello, Rodney. How are you?
How you doing, guys? I'm doing fine.
Rocket, where do you call home these days?
I am temporarily residing in Houston, Texas. H-Town, as we affectionately call it.
You say temporarily. Do you know where you're going from there?
Yes, I will be out of here in 4 years. I'll be on the Big Island in Kona, Hawaii, in 4 years.
There's got to be a story there. Tell me why 4 years and what's going on in Kona.
My fiancée, Sheena, her mother has property there, you know, land and stuff, and we're actually in the process of having everything done, the plans and everything to build a couple big homes there. And, you know, her mom is going to retire in 4 years, and she would like us to be living over there. And I kind of, you know, I gave in, like good little future husbands need to do, right?
Well, Rodney, there hasn't been a lot of big events recently, but there have been a handful. And one thing they all have in common is no Rocket Rodney Morris. Where you been?
I've been taking a little break, you know, from playing competitive pool, or I've just sticking to the last few UPA events, and I really, you know, haven't been focusing on it right now because I'm trying right now to get a couple companies up and running, and, you know, they're startup companies, but the potential is big, you know, financially, so I'm trying to get that up and running. It's, you know, I'm finding that, you know, all the 10, 12-hour-a-day practicing that I've done over the years playing pool is nothing compared to what I've been doing the last year.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the startups you're behind?
Yeah, well, one of them is actually designed. It's a drink. It's an endurance drink, and I'm calling it Extreme Focus because it gives you energy or endurance, and, you know, and it's designed for pool because pool players, we don't like to do things that's going to make us shake or have jitters. So it has no caffeine, none of the things that make you crash. It has all your B vitamins, electrolytes, and I just designing it just for pool because, and it tastes very good. You know, it's you know, we have a bunch of different flavors, and I'm going to start marketing that in England next month, in fact.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. So it's something that. So people, the pool players of the world, can say, you know, we have a, you know, a drink designed for us. And it's actually the same manufacturers that make the poker water, which is now the official drink of the World Series of Poker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, just something that, you know, it has, you know, like a Gatorade in flavor. It doesn't have carbonation, you know, it doesn't make you all jittery. So, and it helps you focus because it has all your vitamins and you know, the electrolytes to replenish, because us pool players were very, you know, very exhausting, you know, out there, especially in the Philippines. I think it'll come in handy.
What other startup are you involved in?
The other one is actually an alcohol industry. It's called the Hawaiian Gold, and we have tequila, which is a very, very, very good tequila. I just came from Mexico a couple of days ago and sat down with the manufacturers, and we are better. Then, I mean, I don't like to say it, you know, because they don't say it down there. They don't, in the town of Tequila, in the state of Jalisco, Mexico, they don't, you know, you could be right next to Cabo Wabo and Patron and, you know, Herradura, all of these famous tequila companies, and nobody will say anything bad about each other. They all say, oh, that company is good. But I can tell you right now that our tequila company is better than Patron, better than Cabo Wabo, all of those guys. So it's just a matter of marketing and advertising and getting it out there, which I will do starting December.
Well, good luck with that. Are you going to be at the U.S. Open?
I will be at the U.S. Open, actually, because it's a UPA-sanctioned event, and I am the player representative for the UPA, so I will definitely be there.
Can you tell us how that whole thing came together?
Well, you know, Frank Alvarez, the president of UPA, and myself are, you know, been really good friends the last few years when we both were temporarily sponsored by Sterling Gaming and Fury Qs.
Right.
And you know, we became real close over the years, and he just asked me basically if I want, you know, he needed a voice there, somebody that the players got along with and people could understand somewhat. And, you know, just basically I'm there for public relations between the players and the, you know, the organization. Anything any player, you know, has to ask me, I can be there for him and let him know that, if basically, you know, what I think is good. I think Frank and the UPA have good intentions, and basically I just want to be here as a voice for the players.
I was on the UPA site not too long ago, and I didn't see any upcoming events for the UPA other than other people's events that they are sanctioning. Are they out of the tournament business?
No, actually, right now they're the UPA is trying to basically be they're working on a plan to bring all of the tournament promoters together. So when you have a sanctioned event, you have everybody working together. And right now they're debating whether or not to actually keep it at the same, the same level as we've been on, which a lot of the players aren't, really happy with financially. There's a fine line between trying to get a lot more added money, and where to get it and to do all the work and give it to a promoter. It's kind of, it's a catch-22 because the promoters, as you guys probably know, are happy with not adding any more money and having their events grow. So it just seems to from a player's perspective that the event, if somebody's having an event every year, obviously they're not going broke. So why is it the same amount added even though the event gets bigger and bigger? So there's a fine line between, what the players should ask for or deserve and what the promoters should do because they're putting on the event. So right now, it's just a matter of juggling all of that and trying to figure out if it's actually worth, putting on your own event. The UPA is not something that the UPA is against, actually having a tour, with all televised events and just doing everything from scratch himself.
Is the UPA in the position to do something like that?
Well, that's where the tournament stuff and everything has to be kind of slow right now because, all of this stuff is, behind the scenes is a lot of work being done and a lot of people being spoken to that are in a position to actually make this happen. So, but until something is, set and you have the contract signed and the money's in the bank, then you can't really, count your chickens, right?
Sure.
I'd rather not say, exactly what's going on because it's actually nothing is going on until, like I said, until the money's up. And we all know about that IPT situation.
So, not to beat a dead horse, but the IPT checks keep trickling in. How many checks have there been so far?
We got like half of them. I mean, we got half of the money already, but nothing's come in the last 2-3 months. So, I think it's pretty much done.
The last batch of checks was what, 3 months ago?
I think so. So.
That would have been the 44% mark.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was 55%, actually. 55% has come in.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, everybody, May, I think, was the last one.
Okay, and you received a check in that batch of checks?
Yes, I did. They owe me 70,000 more, but, I'm not counting.
Well, Rodney, something that I was curious about, in that big event that you finished in second, there were people who were at the event, and the story during the duration of the event leading up to the finals was that you were the man to beat. Everyone said Rodney is just knocking him dead, and anybody, Efren, Bustamante, anyone is going to have a hard time beating Rodney in the finals. Is the story true that you were informed of the lack of checks at that event just before the finals where you played Efren?
Oh, yeah. I mean, kind of had something. We knew something was fishy because, I was always on my guard the whole time. And, the last day, all we were doing was doing media stuff and interviews and all of that. And, I have some friends in there that, that I was with that were specifically waiting for that, that time, for the checks and everything. And, when they told me, I was like, he said, we were joking around. It was like, so you guys could be playing for fun out there, so go play like you're playing for fun. And so it was, it's kind of disheartening when you think about it, but it was definitely, I was informed before the match, but still, you still tried to play and win. That's the bottom line. It's not like it had anything to do with the outcome of the match. But, yeah, it was strange.
You have a new partner this year for the World Cup of Pool.
Yeah, Corey, I just noticed that. It's Corey Duell and I. Yeah, so it was, I get along with Corey real good. And I think his performance at this last Moscone Cup kind of sealed the deal for him. I was surprised that it wasn't Earl and I because Earl and I, we did real good. And we went to the finals and, Efren and Bustamante tortured us in the finals, but they broke and ran out every single rack they had. And a couple of times that we played safety, Efren kicked the ball in on us, so... it was, other than that perfect match that they played, we were right there. We had a chance to win it, and we were, we were gelling real good there for a while. So, I guess, you can't really, Matchroom does what they want. They invite who they want according to, their criteria and all that. So I'm happy, though. You know, Corey's, I'm sure we'll do great.
Seems to me you two would make a really excellent team because you're the hard charger, you're the big heart, and Corey is the laid-back strategist.
And exactly.
That mixture works pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I really am. I talk to Corey every day pretty much the last 2 weeks, and we're excited, you know, getting the flights together, you know, planning out our strategy. One thing I know for sure that we will have the breakdown before the matches start.
Rodney, speaking of your particular style of play, we've talked about it before here on Run Out Radio. There are players out there, their style of play, let's say, is a little bit more pressure-filled. I mean, you can see the agony on their face as they're mapping out a run, and every little thing can possibly take them out of their game. But you just have a whole different style. I mean, you get out there, you have fun, you make it look real easy. What do you attribute that particular style of play to?
You know, Hawaiian Brian Hashimoto, who kind of, you know, took me under his wing years ago when I started playing pretty good in Hawaii. He just told me something that stuck with me, you know, for a long time until today, that, you know, the secret to, you know, playing at that level, you have to play within yourself. So, you know, it took me a while to realize what myself was. You know, I always tried, you know, I know what's going on in my head, but to, you know, it's hard to emulate that, you know, that, you know, outwardly to people, you know, and me inside, I'm happy-go-lucky and, you know, everything smiles. So it took me, you know, years to really bring that out in my game. And once I did that, you know, as far as tournaments go, then, you know, it's fine. You know, when you're on TV, it's time to, you know, perform and entertain. And then once I realized that that's what I was doing, then, it, you know, everything came easy. And that's why I feel like I play better in that situation, because I'm actually, it's time to perform. It's time to step up and, you know, put on a good show. So I don't think about the pressure. I don't think about anything. I just think about, you know, letting people, you know, who are watching enjoy themselves.
Well, it's definitely a pleasure to watch you out there performing on the tournament scene.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I assume then that the U.S. Open will sort of mark your return to pool full time, because you'll have that and you'll have the World Cup and you'll have the Moscone Cup. Are you going to the World Pool Championships?
Yes, I am going to the World Pool Championships. I'm really happy that they went to a winter break format. You know, that kind of, you know, I've always been, you know, one that an advocate for the winter break and, you know, being rewarded when you win a game. So I'm really looking forward this year to going over there.
So it's World Cup, or it's actually U.S. Open, World Cup, World Championships, and Moscone Cup. Are those the only four you're playing in there for the rest of the year?
Yeah, actually, so World Cup is first,
I think.
Yeah, World Cup is ending up September, like the 22nd, and then October is the U.S. Open. I may play in something else, but, you know, right now it's I'm really, really trying hard to get this tequila and stuff up and running. So we'll see how that pans out if I find time, because we're going to do launch parties, and it's going to be in Hawaii, you know, all over the west coast of the United States. So I need to be there for each and every one of those.
Do you have a sports agent who turns you on to these deals?
Actually, no, I don't have. I've never had an agent or anything. I just, you know, I just came up with an idea. I've been spending a lot of time driving back and forth on Interstate 10 for the last 4 or 5 months. And, you know, my brain has been going crazy, you know, just trying to stay awake and trying to think of ideas. And one of the things, you know, I just came up with it. Sheena and I actually were in the car, and I told her, you know, I think pool should come up with a drink, but it can't have caffeine in it. You know, nothing that makes you crash or give you the jitters. But yet it should have a name that it kind of, you know, something that makes you want to think that you're getting energy and endurance. And I said, well, okay, extreme. Okay, but now this, you want something that's going to help you concentrate and, you know, stay focused. So that's when I came up with the name Extreme Focus. And it seems to be a, you know, pretty big big hit as far as the name. And, you know, we got the labels done, and we're going to start it in England. And I'm having every country that we go into, we're having the top pool players in that country are endorsed by it, and they get royalties out of the every bottle sold. So they're actually on the bottle. So in England, we're launching it with Raj Hundal and Tony Drago. They're going to be the first players sponsored by this drink.
Well, that's slick. We sure wish you luck with that.
hopefully if I make zillions of dollars, which I figure that's the most since it's the last letter in the alphabet, so it's got to be more than trillions. So when we make zillions of dollars, I want to actually do independent events. I want to have like 4 or 5 events, but it's not going to be this is just off the top of my head anyway. It's not going to be sanctioned. It's not going to be like any kind of ranking system or anything. It's just going to be special events, and everybody in it is going to get paid, and they're going to get paid well. And it's going to be 16 players in, like, exotic locations around the world, and televise them, and basically just, throw money at the players and help promote the product. So that's my goal. Hopefully in 2 years we can get there. And only people who are invited are my friends. Doesn't matter what ranking you are or nothing. If I don't like you, you're not invited. So not going to be any kind of political correctness there. So everybody out there got to be nice to me from now on if you guys want to get invited.
Right. Rodney, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We wish you luck with all your endeavors, and we look forward to seeing you. Mike and I will be at the Open, so we'll see you there. And
definitely.
Until then, good health and good wealth.
All right. You too. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rodney.
Uh-huh. Right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You know, Jerry, I've always liked that Rodney Morris. I think he's a great guy. Can't say anything negative about him. He's a wonderful human being. You think that'll be enough for me to get invited to his events?
I don't know. You might want to put him on your Christmas card list.
I will do that.
But I agree with you. He's just a great guy. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Rodney. He's got that big heart, like we like to say, and he sure is a lot of fun to watch around a pool table.
I hope he does real well in these new ventures, and I hope he does well enough that he's able to hire someone else to maintain them so he can get back to playing pool.
Yeah, he would be sorely missed if he took too long a vacation from the tournament circuit.
To be honest, though, I do have to question one of the things that he said, and when he's talking about promoters and how they should have to add additional money each year, there are some promoters out there that you and I both know. We've spoke to them many times. The guys who promoted Glass City, for example, who lose money every year, but they keep putting on the events until they just can't do it financially anymore. But they do it because they truly love the game. They love to be a part of it. They love the players coming in. They love to interact with those players and the fans. I'm not sure what the logic would be in pricing guys like that out of the tournament business. That's not a positive thing for anybody.
No, it's not. I mean, I identify with what he said. I appreciate what he said. I think it's frustration because pool players just, let's face it, they don't earn a great deal of money playing in tournaments, so that's probably just frustration coming out. But it's a very frustrating life for tournament promoters as well because they knock on an awful lot of doors to get the sponsors that they do get.
Yeah, and without those promoters getting out there and knocking on those doors, if you price enough of those promoters out of the business, there aren't going to be any tournaments to be held. As much as the UPA may be looking at running events themselves, that's a lot easier said than done.
True, plus the players can vote with their feet.
You know, sure.
If they find a promoter who they don't agree with, they don't play in his event.
That's the way it works in this business.
Yes, it does. Well, that seems to be it for this week. Thank you once again for listening to Run Out Radio, and we'll have a brand new show for you ready same time next week.